when you have the opportunity to build a team that complements areas that you could grow in. And so you just get to surround yourself with people that complement the areas that aren't your greatest strength. So some of my day-to-day management is not my thing. I like big vision future stuff. So I need to surround myself with people who are really good day-to-day managers of people and processes. And so learn what that is about yourself and grow in that.
Welcome to the Attraction Pros Podcast, where we discuss the latest trends and challenges facing the attractions industry today.
We chat with some of the top leaders in the field and provide resources that will help develop your career in this great industry.
I am Josh Liebman. I am obsessed with the guest experience and helping attractions make that their top priority for success.
And I'm Matt Heller. I am passionate about organizational effectiveness, leadership development, and employee engagement.
Now sit upright, hold on tight, and get ready for the Attraction Pros Podcast.
Hey, Josh, how are you?
Hey, Matt, I'm doing well. Thanks for asking.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are you?
I am doing fantastically. Thank you for asking.
Oh, you're welcome. We left your audience with some suspense and dead air right there.
Left them hanging. I'm not even going to edit that out. Hey, I've got a question for you.
All right.
If I were to ask you, is there something from your past or childhood that you feel nostalgic about? What comes to mind?
Amusement parks.
Okay.
Easy answer, right? Yeah, between that and baseball, I would say. Kind of between those two, I would say are the first ones that come to mind.
And what does that mean? Like when you think about your experiences from when you were young, what does that mean to be nostalgic about amusement parks or baseball?
I think about family memories, and I think about kind of the moments that occurred with those. I can tell you one thing from the first baseball game I went to. I don't remember the score. I don't remember who won, but I remember doing the wave, and I was 5 years old, and I remember actually being terrified because I could see it going across. I was at Tiger Stadium in Detroit, which was, I mean, in the perspective of a five-year-old, massive complex. I just see it going around. I have no idea what's about to happen when it gets to me. So there's nostalgia, and like there's a positive memory from like something that like kind of scared the crap out of me in that moment.
Okay.
What about you?
Not so much amusement parks, because I really didn't get into those until I was much, you know, kind of later in life. But I think the thing that pops into my mind are family trips that we took, and we would go on vacation in an RV. So, you know, if we were living in Ohio at the time, and we would rent an RV and go down to Florida or go out to Washington or wherever it was, that was our preferred method of travel to see the US. And, you know, when I think about being nostalgic for that, it is a memory. It is something that I wish that maybe I could relive in a certain way, and maybe that's part of what nostalgia is. But it's something I have very, very vivid memories of that I don't think I'll ever forget. Maybe that's part of nostalgia too.
For sure. So why do you ask?
I ask because our guest today happens to be the CEO of a very nostalgic place, or a place I should say that people have a lot of nostalgic memories about, which is Arnold's Park in Iowa. And so today we are talking to John Possley, who is the CEO of Arnold's Park. He's been there for about 2 years, and he talks a lot about the balance of maintaining that nostalgia and giving people things that are familiar, but always trying to make it better.
Yeah. And it's not just Arnold's Park. It's historic Arnold's Park. It's right there in the name, reflecting more than 130 years of nostalgia, of generational loyalty. He talks about the, you know, the kids who grow up and then they bring their kids and their families there, which I think is probably the most long tail marketing strategy you could probably, you know, any business can probably have. And that's what we're in the business of doing, of creating something that they will have the nostalgia that they want to then replicate and create those new memories with the next generation. And I like what you said about feeling familiar, but better, right? Because they're preserving the nostalgia of it while at the same time keeping it relevant, keeping it current, putting in air conditioning into buildings that perhaps, you know, when older guests visited when they were younger didn't have, maybe they have fond memories of being there in the heat in the summer, and now it's a little bit better because there's air conditioning. So there's the familiarity of it, but the continuous improvements that come with that as well.
Absolutely. And John also talked a lot about leading with positivity. And I think you can tell that positivity kind of comes out of every pore of his being, just listening to what he talks about and how he talks about the business. He talks about his memories. He talks about the team. He talks about the team affirmation, which I thought was a really, really great strategy that he created with the team, or the team created with him as well. But just that concept of, hey, we're going to go out there. And I think he said, some days your head will spin, but we're going to make it. It's going to be okay. We're going to be able to meet our numbers today. We're going to be able to serve our guests today. And just having that positive mentality, that positive outlook, I think has really helped him be as successful as he's been so far.
And his leadership style, his leadership philosophy comes from so many years working within nonprofits and organizations and focusing on organizational leadership. He has a master's in leadership. So when he talks about leadership, he's talking about, directly back to the really core components of it, and building that team and building that company culture and creating that environment where people feel empowered, where there's the people feel like they're being listened to, they feel the collaboration with it. And it was just great to learn from him in this interview about all of that.
And of course, he says this is a people business. So if you're going to move into an executive role, any kind of leadership role within this industry, you got to know people. So I'll let him tell more of that story, but I really, really appreciated that he brought that up. So is it time to get on the legend and take this ride with John?
Are you saying we should sit upright, hold on tight?
Get ready for
this interview with John Posley.
Hey, John, welcome to the Attraction Pros podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Absolutely. So excited to jump into this conversation. John, can you tell our listeners a little bit about your background and your career and how you came to work at Arnold's Park?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's kind of a fun journey to get to where I've been at Arnold's Park so far. So I grew up in Ohio, born there in Ohio, lived there for about 8 or 10 years until middle school, and then moved to Iowa in middle school. And so I've lived in Iowa mostly ever since middle school. And a lot of my career trajectory has been after college. I started working in churches for about 10 years, and I worked mostly with youth and young adults for about 10 years in churches. And that brought me to Northwest Iowa, that job did. And while I was in here in Northwest Iowa, where I'm currently at and where my family has been raised, my three wonderful wife and three teenage kids. And so we were all living in Arnold's Park area. And during that time, what brought me there was a job at a church. But I got my master's in leadership and found out I really enjoy organizational leadership. It's something I really enjoy doing, furthering missions. And after I got my master's in leadership, I did some roles here where I'm at locally in some nonprofit work. And so I spent a couple of different jobs doing some nonprofit work here. And then always have enjoyed the attractions industry. Always been an amusement park fan. Growing up in Ohio, best summer of my life was a summer we had a season pass to Kings Island. And so great memories from that time. And always just enjoyed it in Des Moines where I grew up. Adventureland was there quite a bit too. And so when we lived here in Northwest Iowa, brought the family to where I'm at Arnold's Park often. And the kids grew up here. We had season pass holders for years and years and years. So when this position came open here at the amusement park, even though it wasn't something that I had done before, particularly, I knew I had to apply for the job and see if it could come about. So Arnold's Park is officially a nonprofit park and a nonprofit space. And so I've had a lot of background in nonprofit work, being able to have organizational leadership. And one thing led to another through the process of the interviews. And I've been in this role for almost 2 years now, and I'm just really enjoying it. It was a career transition without having to move. And so that was really nice too. So living in the area my kids are growing up in, and that's been great.
Excellent. I would love to talk more about that career transition, because it sounds like the way you sort of teed up how you ended up at Arnold's Park was a lot of things that really, I would say, qualified you along the way, even starting with that summer with that pass at Kings Island, of really starting as a consumer, starting as a fan of it, and then with your master's in leadership and working with organizational leadership and working with nonprofits and all of that. Can you talk about, I would say, how all of that really led you to the role that you're in now, and that you're really able to use all of those skills? And I include that summer with that summer pass at Kings Island, sure, one of those skills, and knowing the guest experience from that lens.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it kind of all stacks on top of each other pretty nicely there, because going and just enjoying that summer at amusement park. So the town I grew up in Ohio, small town, just north of Dayton. So going to Kings Island, it was a big deal. It was a big adventure for us. And the summer that we had a season pass, we went probably once every week or two. And so it was exciting. And so I just loved the sounds, the smells, the rides, the attractions. I just kind of fell in love with the whole thing. So it became a big deal for us to be able to do. Then when we moved to Des Moines and we were living close to Adventureland and being able to go over there and enjoy all that, I just loved being part of being around that. I mean, something about it just stuck with me, and I just really enjoyed that. And then when I went to the roles of working with in churches and then nonprofit leadership, I think, you know, the attractions industry, it's a people business. And anything you do in nonprofit work, you are serving people at some level, serving a mission, and then serving growth in some area too, and trying to further a mission while still giving people great experiences. And so I think all of that kind of stacked on top of each other. And then when we lived here in Northwest Iowa, and my family was a consumer here at Arnold's Park, Amusement Park, for a long time, it was fun to gain relationships with some of the people here. We employ a lot of international seasonal staff like many amusement parks do. So we got to know some of them. We had times we took some of them out to eat, and we got to enjoy some of the concerts we have here at the Arnold's Park. And so we really just got involved in the whole kind of ethos of the amusement park. And then was a consumer for a long time. And then organizationally, I'm just endlessly fascinated by this place specifically, but also just by the amusement industry, because there's so many different facets of things that you don't think about that exist inside of this industry that are just fun to dig into, and trying to build a team of people that are seasonal, that are full-time year-round, and pushing towards a mission and giving people great experiences is it's just fun and exciting, and you're never dull at all. So
Well, John, I would love to dive into what you said you're endlessly fascinated about. You mentioned being endlessly fascinated about Arnold's Park. And, you know, I've had the fortune to be there, you know, a couple of times, and seen, even in a couple of times I've been there, some of the amazing changes that have happened. So I'm curious, what is it about that property and that organization that keeps you fascinated?
Yeah, well, one is I've got a lot of family memories here. I have memories of my kids when they were little. Having memories here. So that I just love this place. You know, I was telling my wife the other day that I was walking through the park at night and nobody else was here. I just kind of said out loud to myself, I love this place. You know, like, this is space. I just love it here. And so what I love about here specifically is it's so multifaceted. When you think Northwest Iowa, you don't think resort area. And I mean, nobody's thinking that, right? But we have this beautiful, in the middle of cornfields, you break into this beautiful glacier carved lake. On the shores of this lake, we've got this wonderfully picturesque little amusement park. But then we also have a lot of things beyond just an amusement park. We've got a great small amusement park, but we're a concert venue, both indoor and outdoor concert venue all summer long. We're going to host over 30 concerts between Memorial Day and Labor Day. We've got an excursion boat. We've got go-karts and mini golf. You know, we've got restaurants and shopping. And so there's just all sorts of small businesses and unique things inside of the amusement park or the historic Arnold's Park in general that makes it really exciting. And so you're never for lack of things to do or think about. And that's fun. And I love doing that kind of in an area that people come to here during the summer for that purpose. You know, they're coming to enjoy themselves, to make memories. You're not coming here in the summertime just passing through. You're coming here on purpose to do that. And I just kind of love it about this space. And being that it's historic, that's the official name of this place, Historic Arnold's Park. This is our 135th season this year of doing something. And so there's a lot of history that's here, and people with a place with this much history, There's nostalgia, there's memories, there is family memories. There's stories you get to hear about people coming when they were young and their grandparents when they were young. And it's fascinating to have all of that collide into one space. Yeah.
I'm curious then about preserving that, the fact that the word historic is part of the name of the park. And then you talk about those generational memories that have been made and really the overall significance that this has in the community and in the lives of your guests, but also balancing that with being current and relevant and serving today's youth in the up and coming markets and things that they want to see and really sort of, as it kind of straddling that line, as far as just curious how, what that challenge is like.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a challenge for sure. So 135 years, this whole area came to be because of tourism. Railroads started bringing people here in the summertime to find a place to cool off. So they come to a lake, and then out of that started coming some rides, some attractions, some games and things like that. And so what we're always trying to balance is how do you honor that past or that rich history that people have? And we do that through a few museums we have on site. We have three museums. One is a kind of museum of the nautical era here at the lake. So it's a maritime museum. It shows boats and history of boats and steamboats and everything that's on the lake. And then we have a museum that is for the amusement park specifically. So it shows a lot of the old rides. When we had a roller skating rink, when we had the old roof garden dance hall where everything got kicked off in this area for live music. And so all over the park and in our museums, you're going to see history boards. You can stop and see old pictures. You can read stories about what used to be. And then the most beautiful part about this whole story of Arnold's Park is that 25 years ago, a developer came and actually bought the park. And he was actually going to tear it all down, and he's going to build condos in the area. And then the community rallied together, and in the course of about 6 weeks, raised $7 million to actually buy the amusement park back from the developer and say, we're going to keep this as a place where this community can have this forever. And so we tell that story often. So we just keep that alive. And we have places around here that honor the people that were a part of that. And we allow people to tell their story and find places and avenues to do that. And nostalgia is a powerful thing. When people think about the past and things that they saw. So when we rebuilt a few buildings, we were constantly rebuilding buildings that went back and said that was a building that was here before. It's new. It's got air conditioning now. It's upgraded. Some of the rides that we bring back are rides that may have been here before. And so we want this place to feel familiar to people and yet new. So you've got new consumers coming in, younger folks, and we're trying to find rides that are enjoyable for them that they can come and enjoy, but also music is a big thing of what we do. So we're bringing in concerts and we're bringing in country concerts that the kids are enjoying now, and it brings in that young families. But a lot of what we do is generational. So a lot of families are bringing back kids and grandkids, and we're just trying to hook them when they're young. Our park is, it's more only geared towards younger folks. Once you get to be upper teenagers, there's not as many thrill rides as some other parks. So maybe there'll be a little gap of time where they're like, well, I'm more into the beach or I'm more into the music. But then it never fails. When they get older, they start bringing their kids back to have memories of when they're young too. So it's kind of a cycle we keep working around, but always a balance, because you never want to lose that next generation either.
Well, and don't sell the legend too short. That's a great ride.
It really is a great ride.
And Anders, I understand you've done some retracking with that recently too, right?
Yeah, so the Legend roller coaster is 90 years old this year. So it's a wooden roller coaster. It's a figure eight that runs right along the lake. Top speed of about 55 miles an hour. So it's not your big thrill ride, but it is a fun ride. A lot of great airtime on it. And we did. We actually restored the whole thing. So over the last 7 or 8 years, everything has been all new structure, all new track, all new chain lift and engine drive and everything. And we just had that totally redone for the first year last year. It had been in about four different phases. And you're right, Matt. We rode that together. It is a great ride. And I don't want to undersell it. It's a lot of fun. And it's a great one. And it's one of those that it's legendary. People come back and that's their first roller coaster ride for many people. And this fun fact, this past summer, we had a couple, a retired couple, who rode the Legend 1,000 times in one summer. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Amazing. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, incredible. So they live within walking distance of the park. It's just what they do. They walk over, they ride it about 10 times a day. They always sit in the front row. And it's kind of a neat story because kind of one of those nostalgic pieces. They had a son who, when he was an adult, unfortunately passed away, but he loved the amusement park. So it's kind of a way that they remember and honor him by doing that as well. And so it's just another neat tie back to nostalgia and family and the memories you make at these places. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
And by coming every single day and living within walking distance, I imagine you're able to build a strong relationship with these guests, and not just you, the ride operators, but I mean, just everyone throughout the park. I'm curious, as far as, you know, just for, like, from a guest experience standpoint of, you know, I talk about, you know, personalizing the experience, and I talk about, you know, recognizing guest loyalty. And so I'd actually love to learn a little bit more. What do you do for a guest or this couple who rides the same roller coaster 1,000 times in the same summer to say, thank you for doing that? To say, like, thank you and congratulations and, yep. You know, get 1,500 next summer. Let's, you know, where does that lead to, I'd say?
Yeah. So for like them specifically, like we kept track. We were talking to them throughout the summer. They knew exactly which ride they're on. So we knew the day they were going to ride a 1,000th ride. We got a big poster out. We got a picture of them riding their 1,000th ride on the roller coaster. We gave them a little plaque and a thank you. We took their picture and sent it to them, framed up later. And then we sent it out to all the local news outlets. And so they got tons of press coverage for this ride. And we're just telling them thank you and let them tell their story. And of course, everybody knows them when they come into the park, you know, I mean, so we all know their names, we all know their faces, they're just the sweet people. And so we just tried to build that loyalty with them. And I think what that did for a guest experience was locally here, other people got to see that we valued these folks that visited us so often. And so we got to give them some thank yous and some press. And I think that just went a long ways locally here for people to see, yeah, Arnold's Park, they care about the people that come here, and I want to make sure that they feel valued and seen. And so that, from a guest experience, we hope that adds to the experience of other people too.
Yeah. John, I'd love to switch gears just a little bit and talk about kind of you and your leadership style and what you had to do when you first got to Arnold's Park, you know, learning the new staff and learning the whole sure. operation. So I'm curious about, maybe it's the extension of that transition question, but also from your kind of personal perspective, kind of putting your own leadership stamp on that whole process.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think as a general practice, I'm a pretty collaborative person. I like working with teams of people. I want people to feel like they have input and involvement on decisions we make and that how we do things. And so really it was starting to sit with a lot of our team and say, what's going well? What do you see that maybe we could have some input on, and working together towards doing what we can to change some areas and allowing our staff to have input on that. So I'm a big believer in if you're bought in because it's your idea, you're really going to take ownership of it and do well. And so I want to very collaborative and empowering for people to be able to say, I want to empower you to do your role in the best way that you can and give this skills and coaching and direction that you need to. And then a big thing, part of it is you just got to be a positive leader, and say, hey, we have a short window of time. We have about 100-day season, Memorial Day to Labor Day, that we really, 90% of what we do happens in that time. And so there's days that it's, your head spins. There's days that, you know, it's a lot. There's a lot of different facets of things going on. And I'm trying to be the one out there front saying, okay, we're going to keep an even keeler approach, but be a positive. We're gonna tackle these challenges as they come. We can do this. We can get through it every day. And so I'm trying to be that encourager behind them as well, that goes out in front and says, we can do it. Here's where we're going. And then encouraging them on the backside. And so that's a big part of what I try and do, and allow them to also have some freedom to be able to make some choices of how they want to handle guests inside of that, how they can handle their experiences in their different departments, and be able to lead their teams well.
What are some of the ways that leaders are able to embrace that leading with positivity mindset, particularly on those summer days where it's really hot, it's busy, it's starting to feel a little stressful, things, you know, feel like they're starting to feel like out of place. So there's always, there's, there's always like controlled chaos going on in an amusement park somewhere in some shape and form, but not letting that get the best of you and really maintaining that positive mindset that, like I said, being even keeled that then gets those solutions much more efficiently and in a cleaner manner, I'd say.
Yeah. So one of the things we try and do is give each of our managers the ability to solve some problems on their own. You know, you give them some leeway to say, hey, you're going to be able to make the choice today. If you're having a guest that's having a real issue, you've got some standard operating things that we do, but you're going to be able to say, how can you solve that for them? So do you need to help them by getting them a cotton candy? Okay, let's go get them a cotton candy to be able to help solve their problem. If they have an issue that comes up, and you need to be able to refund their money or be able to give them a pass for the future or a concert ticket to help, there's some, you know, parameters around that. But we would try and let them solve that problem with that person specifically. And I think we're a small enough place that we can have some of that flexibility to be able to do that. And part of it is, too, allowing all of our staff a weekly time to be able to get together and talk about, okay, what are the frustrations that we're facing? And quick check-ins with each of them to say, what are frustrations you're facing? What can we do to solve that? And then how can you, what tools do you need to help go out and solve that with your team as well? So one simple thing last year we found out was a lot of our staff wanted to have more than just water in the break room. One of our guys said, I think we can run some lines to be able to get them some Powerade and get them some lemonade and some Coke. And so, okay, hey, you go do that. Solve that problem by being able to just take your ownership and go from there. So we really, really try and make it available for them to be able to solve a lot of those issues on their own.
So kind of a related topic to that, you asked us about the team affirmation that you created, or you asked us to, you know, that was something you could.
Yeah.
So I'd love to kind of dive into that because it sounds like a really interesting process.
Yeah. So when I first started here, as with most places that are kind of got a lot of different facets going on, they said communication was a difficult piece. So, you know, how does everybody know kind of what's going on in communication across departments? And so we sat down for 1 year and we had a team affirmation that every week at our staff meeting, we say out loud together. The first few times you do it, it's kind of odd. It feels a little weird, you know, but we all say it together. And we said, we're a team who strives to communicate well. We do this because we value our team and our mission. So when you all say it out loud, over time, you memorize it, and then it gets into your mind, and then you continue to say, okay, am I striving to communicate well, and am I valuing my team members in doing so? And so we did that last year, and then at the end of this year, we as a team wrote an affirmation together. They said, well, okay, we're going to get together at staff meeting every week. What are we all going to affirm? What is important to you that's included in this? And so they each had a little segment that they could write. Our affirmation this year is a little longer than last year's. It takes a little longer to read and write, but we all say it together every week. And then we all ask each other check-ins. Like, how are we doing at being professional courtesy to each other? What are we doing well that is giving us a positive outlook? And it gives us kind of a standard point to start at every day to say, how are we doing as a team together, and are we living up to what we say we wanted to? So it was important that, you know, I didn't write it. I could say, hey, here's our affirmations for the year. But the fact that we did that collaboratively was saying everybody had a piece in that. And then we all agreed to it. We all said, okay, for 2 weeks, we went over in staff meeting every week. All right, is there anything we need to change on here, add or take out? Everybody had the opportunity to give some input. And now we're saying, hands in the middle, we're all living by this. Go team 2024, and let's go together from here. So it was a neat process to kind of walk through in a little leadership way for everybody to feel like they're included on it. And then we all agree to it. So now we got to live it out.
What are some of the ways to track the progress and improvement from these team affirmations?
Yeah, so some of them are just check-ins. Like this past staff meeting, we had one yesterday, and we felt like there were some areas where professionalism and respect could be a little bit better on our team, and just in some ways that we could do that. So we just called it out. We said, hey, we're affirming that we want to have better respect and professionalism. Let's check in and give people the freedom and opportunity to talk about it. And, you know, sometimes those lead to some uncomfortable conversations, but if you don't have those, you can't move forward. I think you can't continue to grow together as a team and an organization. And if you can get those out of the way, then your guests are going to have better experiences, I think, because your team is going to feel valued, seen, heard, like they've had an opportunity to work everything through as well. So, I mean, you guys have said it before, and say it again, you know, customer experience and employee experience, they're kind of the same thing, right? And so, yeah, you want to give them both a really make them feel valued, seen, and heard. You do that with your employees, they're going to pass that along to your customers too.
You know, John, that brings up something really interesting that, you know, not only do you have guests that have come to the park for a long time and they have a lot of those memories, but team members and employees as well, right? So how do you balance that part of it? Like knowing that there might be team members that, you know, I really liked it the way we did this 10 years ago or something like that. And so now you're kind of dealing with that change of, hey, this is your workplace, but also someplace that's going to progress and move into the future. And we know that nostalgia is important, but as a business, we have to take a step forward as well.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And, you know, as we have grown through the last few years, we've kind of organizationally gone from a point of, you know, sometimes with small mom and pop, 10 or 12 people, survive the day. You know, we survive today, and then the next day comes. And now we're really trying to more professionalize how we do everything. You know, it's just some standard procedures we have. Our team is growing to bring more people in. And so just like the amusement park, we're trying to do it with our staff. Is kind of my mindset is we want it to be familiar, but better, you know? So it feels familiar from what it was 10 years ago. I mean, and how do you, you come back and you're like, there's a familiar essence here, but yet you can see some positive growth. So things are on our grounds. It's familiar, but things are cleaner. Things are nicer. Things are better. For our staff, it feels familiar working here. There's still a familiarity of team and mindset and the space, but things are better because we have better procedures in place. We have better communication in place. We have better structure in place. And so that's kind of my way that I balance both of those, familiar and yet better at the same time.
So you mentioned kind of the intersection between the guest and the employee experience. You've also mentioned seeing your customers as guests. And I would love it if you can expand on that and talk about kind of your mindset and the way that you distribute that to your team as well.
Absolutely. So for both our team and our customers, yeah, when they come here, we want them to feel like you're coming to a place that is familiar to you. So we try and learn people's names. All of our staff, well, every day, you know, they'll learn name tags, and we encourage them to interact with the customers because a lot of them are season pass holders. They bring their kids here often, and we encourage them, get to know your name, get to know where they're from and talk to them. And then we encourage people as they're coming through, because we live in Northwest Iowa. I mean, it's not this very diverse place all year round. But when the summertime comes and we have international seasonal staff, I mean, it is a very different place in the summer. So we have programs in our community where we're encouraging people to come in and learn our staff's names, you know, get to know the staff that are here, get to know where they're from, talk to them. We have opportunities where they can provide meals for our international seasonal staff and our dormitory that we have for them. So we have groups that come in and provide meals, give our staff opportunities to go to their house, ride their boats, get to know other spaces outside of just work. And so we got both where our employees hopefully feel like guests, especially our international seasonal employees, feel like guests here in our community. And then our community can feel like guests when they come to Arnold's Park. And so we try and build that kind of reciprocal relationship between the two. And we every week we highlight one of our staff for Employee of the Week. We put their picture up all over, and then people see them in the park. Oh, you're the Employee of the Week. And they can talk to them that way. And then we try and just build that idea of making you feel like you're familiar when you come here.
Yeah. John, can you talk a little bit about the nonprofit status of the park? Because there's a lot of museums and aquariums and those types of places that might be nonprofit, but not a lot of amusement parks are. So from a leadership and organizational perspective, can you talk to us a little bit about how that impacts your decisions on a daily basis?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we are the amusement park specifically. We're not, you know, we're governed by a board of directors, and we don't have shareholders to turn a profit to give money back to. What we have is people who are investors philanthropically who want to see the park be something that they can bring their family to. So it is a different dynamic. Certainly we want to be profitable and we work towards that every year. A lot of the upgrades that we do and a lot of the beautiful investments that we have come through philanthropy. So people have given gifts for us to build buildings and gifts for us to build our outdoor stage and beautify some of our area. So it is a little different that when guests come, and why it's so important for the guest experience, and especially those who might want to make some donations to the park, we're constantly looking at them as people who are ambassadors for us. You know, we want you to come and feel connected. We want you to love this place. And then we're looking at them as potential people who could give some financial backing to us as well. And so they invest in us not for a return. They're investing in us because they believe in our mission. They're investing in us because they believe what they see us doing. And many of them because they want their kids and grandkids to be able to have the same experience they had when they were growing up. So it's a mindset shift that you have to look at your customers in a little bit different way as well, because they could potentially be your investors who could help, you know, put a new log ride in, who could help build a stage, who could help bring a bigger name band in the concert that may be able, we wouldn't be able to afford otherwise. And so we have some programs in place for some of our donors that we connect with for some ways that they can have some special attention, have some preferred parking, have some preferred access to concerts behind the scenes, and even be able to invest and be part of the planning on committees and our board of directors even as well. So it's fascinating because you're a business and you're a philanthropist and you're a museum and you're a nonprofit. So we fall underneath the museum, historic and museum category. And so inside the amusement park, that's where a lot of what we try and do is a lot of historic rides, a lot of historic places where we have history throughout the park, and really trying to point people back to the fact that this is a place that has been here for a long time, and balance that out with, we got some exciting stuff coming for the future, because in 30 years, now will be the past, and we got to have part of that too and help people build that nostalgia as well. Yeah.
So. That's true. Today is the nostalgia of the next generation.
It is. And that's where it's And we want the folks, you know, the kids who are here now that are coming back in their 20s, you know, that they have memories of when they were younger. But the kids that are coming this year that are 10 and 11 years old, I mean, what they have today in 30 years will be what they remember. So we want to make that great for them and help them remember that in the future as well. And I really see us as, you know, in the attractions industry in general, we're just providing opportunities for people to make memories and build nostalgia. And by the way that we give guest experience and by the way that we provide what they need, we're kind of removing the obstacles for them to make good memories. You know, we're providing rides and attractions, but then we're just making sure that they have a great time, and people will build their own memories. They will build their own nostalgia. And you don't have to create that. You just have to create a safe and welcoming environment for them to be able to do that. So I look back at the summer I was at Kings Island, right? So there's the Viking Fury is their galleon type ship that's there. So nobody told us to do this, no ride operator or anybody else, but it was back in the day, I think Miller Lite had the slogan, tastes great, less filling, right? So nobody said anything, but you'd go up on one side of the ship and the whole side would yell, tastes great. And the other go back on the other side and they'd all yell, less filling, you know? And I look at that and I say, that's one of my greatest memories. My younger brothers and I, you know, yelling that as 8-year-old kids, a slogan for Miller Lite, you know? But Kings Island didn't say, hey, you need to do this, no ride off. It just happened. But what happened was they provided a ride and a place, and that's what I remember. And a lot of times, you know, we just, as the space and the place, I think we as people, hopefully we're remembered for being who we are. But in some ways, we kind of fade into the backdrop, and people will make their own memories. And how cool is that? You know, I don't remember any of the ride operators there that did that, but I do remember that memory. But there were people every day who made that happen when we were there. And so I think that's a neat spot for us to find ourselves into.
It's so funny because as a ride operator running a very similar ride to that in New Hampshire, they did the exact same thing. You know, so
yeah, it's spread across the country somehow. Yeah,
exactly. So yeah, I don't know if that's the power of the advertising or the fact that, you know, people just love to do that. I don't know where the accountability goes for that one.
I don't know, but it was pretty impressive whoever did. Yeah. So, you know, yeah, got it there. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
So, John, in doing research for this interview, I saw an article you were quoted in recently that said that when you were a child, a substitute teacher asked the class what you would do if you could do one thing when you grew up.
Yeah.
It would be fun to run an amusement park.
Yeah.
I feel like perhaps you've already given us the answer to the question here in kind of a roundabout way here, but why did you give that answer?
Yeah, I think I just fell in love with the whole thing. So, I mean, the sights, the sounds, the smells, the fun, the excitement, and the memories, and the people that you're with. It was just, just seems like that would be a great place to be able, something to be able to do. And so if you would ask, you know, 8 or 10 year old me, however I was when I said that, if I'd be able to do that now, I just love it. It's kind of living a dream. And there's so many things that you get to enjoy, to know that you're doing for people. And so some of my greatest memories have existed inside of that from my childhood. Some of my kids' favorite memories and my memories with my family and my kids have existed in this place. And so it's just, what better industry to be able to be in than an industry that people come to have fun and to enjoy themselves and to kind of break away from the day-to-day of life that might seem like the normal stuff to say, I'm going here for the purpose of enjoying myself. And if we can provide that for people, that's a fun industry to be a part of.
No doubt about it. John, I'm curious. You've already given us some really great inspirational management and leadership nuggets, but I'm curious, what kind of advice do you have for people that may want to pursue a similar career, become an executive or become somebody who runs an amusement park?
Yeah, sure. That's a great question. There's a few things I would say we are in the people business. So you have got to learn people. You've got to learn to work with people. You've got to learn to talk to people. You've got to learn how to interact with people, be able to talk in front of people and be able to serve guests. Find out what makes people tick. Learn about different personalities and how you respond to them. If you can learn to work with people and you can talk to people, you're 80% ahead of a lot of other folks. I mean, you really are. So I would say learn people in any way you can. And then as well, learn yourself. Know what makes you tick. Know your personality. Know how you're wired, the way you make decisions. And then when you have the opportunity to build a team that complements areas that you could grow in. And so you just get to surround yourself with people that complement the areas that aren't your greatest strength. So some of my day-to-day management is not my thing. I like big vision future stuff. So I need to surround myself with people who are really good day-to-day managers of people and processes. And so learn what that is about yourself and grow in that. And then, you know, you got to know your numbers and know your business too. That's very important. That area you can't forget. So if you're not in an executive role and you have the opportunity, ask when appropriate, could I look at the financials for profit and loss or statements of how this works? Could I see the numbers on these games? What's our margins for our, you know, for the prizes versus how many times they win? You learn that and you grow and you're just learning your knowledge and your skill and kind of getting your business acumen in a good spot. And then find a coach or a mentor. I think there's so many people out there. And even the older I get to, the more I say, I really do want to help develop somebody else. I'd love to give back to somebody else. So there's people out there who want to be able to do that. If you find a place to ask questions, that's great. But I would say start with learning people, learn how to work with them, learn to talk with them, become a team player, and then take some risks. Try it out. Try something new. The best way we learn is through not doing well. So if you're going to learn, or you're never going to fail if you don't learn. So you're going to learn or you're going to grow. That's the idea. And you're going to be successful. And so that's what I would tell folks. And, you know, I mean, shameless plug here, but then watch, learn, look at the Attraction Pros, go to IAPA, go to the classes that you have. I mean, there's just areas of people out there that's a great industry of connection, and you're going to learn things that people do and they do differently and they do well. This year at IAPA, we connected with Oaks Amusement Park because they're another nonprofit amusement park. And so our teams got together and got to collaborate together on some of the things that we're learning. And we still have some contact with them today in some areas. So learn and connect and grow and then don't be afraid to put yourself out there.
That's a lot of great advice. Thank you.
Yeah, that was a lot. Yeah,
got a lot of notes here. Yeah, so we talked about you know, the nostalgia of the park and making it feel familiar. We talked about the past, and then we sort of talked about, like, at one point you said what it looks like 30 years from now. And I'm curious, as far as what you see, How will the park look in 30 years or even in 10 years in the near term future as you continue to grow while protecting the historic nostalgia familiarity of it as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think we continue to do a lot of what we're doing of continuing to write stories and remember people's stories and tell those. And I think that's very important that we continue to build on our history. But then also, you know, for us, I'd like to see we are kind of landlocked, but we've got a little area for growth inside our amusement park. So we'd like 10 years from now, I'd like to come back and we have a few more rides and attractions that might be for folks that, you know, a little older age, a little bit more thrill rides. I think that's important and valuable. But we're always trying to balance that we're never going to be a big park. That's not who we're going to be. But how do we provide just enough fun that people want to keep coming back? And so I think some of that is music. Some of that is memories. And this place is, I always tell people, it's so hard to describe. You almost have to experience it. You know, you come out Saturday nights, fireworks over the lake every Saturday night. So a lot of what we do needs to stay the same because that's what people love about it. And we just keep adding things year over year that, oh, that's new this year. That's new this year. But I still have that familiarity of before. So 10 years from now, 20 years from now, I hope you come back and the place is clean and fresh and friendly, and there's some new things that you're like, oh, that wasn't here, but oh, good, that place still is. And so that's really my vision for how this place specifically continues to grow into the future.
Yeah, if I go to Arnold's Park and I can't ride the Legend or get a Nutty Bar, there's going to be a problem.
Tarred and feathered here. I'd be out if I ever took those out. So
Well, John, this has been a fascinating conversation, and we really appreciate the time that you've been able to spend with us. If people want to learn more about yourself or Arnold's Park, where would you send them?
Yeah, I'd send them to arnoldspark.com. You can find us in Northwest Iowa if you're ever traveling through. A couple other places are roofgardenballroom.com. It's one of our places to be able to have some of our music facilities. We're on Facebook and Instagram, and then I'm on LinkedIn under my name, John Posley. I'd love to connect with you there as well. And we'd love to just be able to find out more friends and connections. So you can find us there.
John, I have one final question for you. This is an oddball one right here, but you mentioned a couple of times you love the sounds, the smells, the rides, the fun, the whole thing. Do you have a favorite sound or smell?
Oh, I absolutely do. My favorite sound is the roller coaster chain. I can hear it from my office when it starts to run. I love that sound. Favorite smell is the lake mixed with popcorn. We go do that out in our lake by the lake, and you put those two together, and it's a beautiful thing. So those are my favorite. Great question.
Wow. Awesome. Brings us right back to Arnold's Park. So again, John, thank you so much for your time today. And for everybody out there who's watching and listening, just remember, we are all attraction pros.
Thanks for listening to the Attraction Pros Podcast.
Make sure to subscribe so you can tune in when new episodes release. And even better, please leave us a review on iTunes.
For more information, visit attractionpros.com.